Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies, on this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I am doing part two of my interview with Stephanie Lynn Shaw. And she is, just in case you didn't catch our last one, the founder of Stephanie Lynn Shaw. And she's also the host of the podcast, Hello Hot Flash. Now, she's an educator. She's also the creator of the Mind Body Business Method, where she's supporting midlife women, just really in understanding the changes their body is going through as they get older, but also supporting them in making changes to help sustain health for life. And so, because I love talking about perimenopause, menopause, and really just working to help women live a life where it's not guaranteed that we have these symptoms that we've seen everybody in our family go through and that society makes us think that are like we have to go through, absolutely not. And Stephanie and I have a great conversation about all things hormone. And so nevertheless, let's jump into the podcast part two with Stephanie Lynn Shaw. Hey, health junkies, I have Stephanie Lynn Shaw on, and oh my goodness, she and I have had some great chats over these last two times that we have talked. And today's gonna be a treat for you, because not only has she dealt with all the hormone imbalance stuff, I mean, she's lived it 2 years of trying to figure it out. And today we're gonna talk about her struggle, but also her like triumph in getting through things and how she's helping ladies with the same things that she was dealing with as well. So Stephanie, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. J. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh man, guys, you guys have to like literally like sit down and buckle yourself in, because it's going to be a good one. Because Stephanie's podcast just cracks me up in the first place. It's called Hello Hot Flash. And of course, I wanted to start off on this with you, Stephanie. When you came up with that podcast name, were you like thinking about the time that you were like, oh, hello, what is this feeling that's all warm, everything, and what is going on? Is that what you were thinking in your head when you named your podcast?
So first of all, thank you for getting it. We're like, saying goodbye, Hot Flash. I'm like, no, it's like, hello, like, what is going on right now? So yeah, that did come to front of mind. Like, and also the fact that I think we can embrace that mm-hmm. change of life, and know that there's some things, and we'll talk about that, some things that we can do in order to lessen the impact of the hot flash. But yeah, I did have that in mind when I came up with the name.
I love it, because I mean, when I've had them and they've come on, I've been like, oh, hello, here we go.
Yes.
And I like it that we're saying hello and embracing it, because that is the one thing that I think, unfortunately, in this industry, it's been like, we have to get rid of all these symptoms, we have to crush them, we have to do this, and, you know, and really like dive into that. But we're not necessarily talking a lot about acceptance of like, yeah, all right, we're getting older, this is a beautiful time where we can like become the fabulous humans that we already are, but like expand upon that. So
yeah. Yes, I love that.
So let's talk about that for a second, because you had a 2 year like struggle where you were like, what in the world is going on? So let's set the stage for folks. Like, what was going on in life at that time? Like, when you started to not feel so great, you know, what was happening? Just because I think perspective of how things are happening in life is really great for ladies to kind of be like, oh, maybe I'm experiencing the same thing.
Yeah. I like the setup for perspective, because before this happened to me, I would have been like, suck it up, buttercup. Let's keep these things moving. So I always humbly come before people and say, I get it now. I apologize. Honestly, I know the date. It was March 23rd, 2017. I was in New Orleans, about a quarter mile from Bourbon Street, physically stepped on a Bourbon Street, and it completely changed my life. So leading up to that, I had, I was running a nonprofit. So I'd spent 10 years running this education nonprofit where basically I was herding cats. So I was getting the folks from preschool to post-secondary to communicate with each other and look at the data on how they transition students. And then prior to that, I had spent 20 plus years in corporate America, where there is no such thing as a 40-hour work week. Mm-hmm. I'm married, three boys, never missed an event. I've probably driven home way faster than I should have from the airport several times to get to a game or event, community volunteer, just doing all of the things. And I was one of the women who assumed that self-care was selfish. Like, how dare you take time out to get your hair done, get your nails done? How dare you take time out to rest and relax? So I was at 100 all of the time. And that March 23rd is when my body basically said, I have had enough. From that, I was on a business trip, on another business trip. I traveled quite a bit. I was on a business trip, and luckily the person with me, she was a social worker and she has a nursing background because she really helped a lot. But my body became numb. I started like convulsing, basically twitching in my eyes. My body just kind of took over. And that before the end of that day, I ended up in two emergency rooms. That began a journey of 18 different doctors, two world-renowned medical facilities, and over $20,000 out of pocket, trying to determine what was going on. And I think the worst part of it all is I never saw, recognized, or took time to recognize the cues. So hair falling out, irregular cycles, numbness in my hands and feet, cold hands and feet, rapid heartbeat when I ate certain foods. There's so many signals that my body was giving me, but being a woman and, you know, being a mom and being super active and always wanting to have that presence that presence of being able to do it all. That is exactly why I think I missed all of those cues.
Yeah. We like, you know, there was this gal on, I don't even know, like someone showed it to me once. It was pretty funny. And she was like, I mom so hard, but I use it as a terminology.
I'm like writing that down.
Yeah, write it down. Like there's a gal, I don't even remember anymore. It was something, I think it was YouTube maybe, but she was like all these videos, like I mom so hard. And I think about it, and I'm like, that's so accurate. Like so many moms are like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And like you said, I'm driving from this place to the next, I'm juggling a career. And like, yeah, how dare you take time to take care of yourself? Because, you know, it just feels wrong. It really does. And I see a lot of moms just like that. And I even see people who, like myself, I don't have children. My clients, my patients are my children, and I mom them very hard. And then, you know, it's the same kind of concept. You have to like look at yourself and be like, oh wow, I haven't even ate today. You know, all those things.
Yeah, you're right. Not that, and isn't that simple? Like, so, and I think you said this when you were a guest on my podcast, that someone told you to breathe. Are you the person that told me that was like the best thing you ever had? But that was part of my journey as well. Like I ended up with a physical therapist who was rock star. He was really cool. But he's like, do you realize you don't breathe? So when you said that, I'm like, oh, I thought it was just me. So I wasn't even taking enough time to breathe because I had to be everywhere and do everything. So I give the long version of that story because I really want people to recognize that they have to implement some form of self-care, or you will end up 2 years sitting on a couch like I did, not being able to drive. I had to close my business, ended up in, you know, accumulating some debt because I couldn't work and paying all the hospital bills. It was a very traumatic time. And if I had have been more aware, all of it could have been avoided.
Right. And you know, I mean, obviously we can't go back in time, and moving forward is what it is. And I think a lot of women are in that state where they are pushing off those symptoms. And I want it to be that this podcast to be a little bit of a wake up call. If anyone's kind of seeing little things building up, but not quite, you know, hasn't stopped them in their tracks, like a Bourbon Street situation, like you. Or I have some people, and I bet you see some of your coaching folks at the same, where they'll have like a little numbness, tingling kind of thing go on where it's a little bit weird and like a blip, and then they just keep going. Did you have anything along the way where there was a blip, or that, do you hear that from your clients a lot where there's like this little thing that happens, but they're like, yeah, you know, it's nothing.
Yes. Yes, I hear that all the time. And yes, I had more than enough signals. I remember one day I walked up a flight of stairs and it took 45 minutes for me to recovery. I'm thin framed. I eat fairly well. I just got up top of the stairs and I'm like, I could physically, it felt like I could physically feel my heart coming out of my chest, but it was all my diet. It was all me not taking care of myself. That I needed no medicine. I didn't take any drugs or anything. My recovery was all self-care based. I was not taking care of myself. And that's why I was seeing that. But yeah, I see clients the same thing. Oh, my hands are cold all the time, or my feet are cold and I'm not sure what's going on. Or, oh, that is right. When I do eat certain food, my heart beats fast, but you know, it goes away. Well, yeah, because you're not eating that food right now, but it comes back and you're ignoring it. So I want women, men, everyone to be aware of what is going on. And when you over and over keep seeing those little things, start to journal them, start to write them down. And then it helps build that story. Note, you know, when you failed it, what did you just do? What were you eating? How are you moving? What were the stressors perhaps that day? And that'll help you build your story and help you when you recover, because you will and can recover.
That's, I mean, obviously the most important thing. We want folks to know that, like, none of this is, you know, something you can't come back from. And I think that unfortunately there is this drive, and it sounds like for the amount of money you spent, like there was a lot of a drive to figure out like a diagnosis, a solution, a, you know, what is it? And just looking at journaling, I feel like a lot of us can discover like, wait a minute, I don't need a fancy diagnosis. All I need to do is pay attention. Do you feel like that now that you've worked more on journaling and all of that?
Oh, heavens yes. I'm like, oh my gosh, I had a good friend who for years and years, like, write it down. I'm like, oh, whatever. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, why didn't I write it down? Because it, again, there were cues and clues, and there was so much along the way that I could have learned. And you're right. I did the investigating, because I think you should. So I didn't know if it was, because I was tested for like lupus and Addison's disease. I didn't know if I had cancer. I didn't know if I had heart disease. So I went to cardiologists, I never went to an oncologist. So I was referred to one. My primary care physician, but because the symptoms were different every single day, like sometimes my back would hurt, sometimes it would be the rapid heartbeat, everyone kept pushing me to the next doctor. Now, I respect the fact that they were trying to help, but no one asked about nutrition. No one asked me, like, what are you eating? No one's, you know, they were like, are you having a hard time at home? And of course I said, no. And they would say, okay. Like there was no digging or prying that like you get when you go to a naturopathic doctor. There was no getting to that root cause of what was going on in my body. And journaling helped me help them figure out what I needed to do.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I was hoping you were going to connect that for us. Awesome. Yes. Yeah. Because I think that's, and that's what I tell my patients and clients all the time is like, the more data you have for me, the better I can put stuff, you know, together. And in fact, like I just called myself out on a patient I've been seeing for over 10 years. She just told me last week she had an addiction to perfumes and she has autoimmune conditions, like skin autoimmune stuff. And I did not connect it because she never came into my office when I saw her physically. Right. Like having a perfume smell. And she's like, oh, well, because your office said no perfumes. And here no I am, I'm like,
unless you're addicted, you're going to have to change the stuff.
Unless you can't stop, I need to know. And so I was like, oh my gosh, how, you know, of course I missed this 10 years, right? So it is those little things. It is looking at the basics. And in fact, the longer I've been in the game, the more I don't even care about like higher level stuff. I'm like, tell me what you eat. Do you poop every day? You know, it's that kind of stuff, right?
Because that's the real thing. Like, I'm happy you said the poop thing. Because, like every day you should be looking in your stool to see what it looks like. You know, go online, Google the Bristol stool test, see if it looks right. And then it can tell you how to adjust or balance what you're eating. So yeah, people don't, I'll say people don't think of that, but I didn't think of that until I was thrown into that situation. So
absolutely. I mean, there's no judgment whatsoever here. I mean, it's we don't think about it because we're not talking about it in kindergarten. We're not talking about it. You know, we're not learning that kind of stuff at all. And even like you're lucky if your health class in, you know, middle school or high school even gives you that information. All I can remember is how not to get pregnant. So
I know, right?
kind of figured that one out. Thanks.
Yes, that's the only thing we were taught. But now we know better, so we have to do better. So like these are my grandson is, I always figure out a way to ease him into the conversation, but he'll be two real soon. But I mean, we're already, the things that he eats, we're already checking for these. So I know better, so I'm trying to do better, so he'll know better. And that's exactly what can happen when folks are listening to this podcast. Once you start to know better, then you just, you know, you can own it and start to do better. So no shame in the game if you didn't do these things before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I have a question, because of course I was scoping out all of your stuff online and I found that you have a program, and I like the name of it, the Mind Body Business Method, because it's like, all right, the business, we got to get, you know, that worked in there. And I would love for you to kind of explain, is it a lot of what you're talking about right now, teaching people to be more aware, working on that, but, you know, give us a little scoop as to what some folks might find in that mind body business method.
Yeah. So I say, taking care of your mind and body so you can take care of your business. And your business could be anything. It could be you, traditional business, or your business of taking care of your home and your kids and so forth. So what I've immediately found is, okay, what I'm doing isn't working, because people are coming wanting to lose weight. But they don't have all of the mindset tools. They don't know how to set up a goal. They don't understand why they're eating the way they're doing. They don't understand why they can't carve out the time to meal prep or do whatever. So mindset is one of the first things that we work on. Like, why are you here? What do you really want to accomplish? How can I help you get there? And let's also talk about some of the barriers for you moving forward. So we work on that. And then with the body, we break it down into three different additional categories. Hormones. So what's going on with your hormones? How can we make changes, or, you know, related to your eating or exercise? Inflammation. Is there inflammation in the body? Acute inflammation, we love. We don't want any chronic inflammation in the body. And more, even without a diagnosis, most of the time someone can tell you if they have that type of chronic inflammation. So maybe the conversation becomes, okay, let's, you know, have a meatless Monday, or try to figure out how we're making some adjustments with the things that we eat, maybe pulling out some of the meat and the dairy. And then we talk about metabolism, because I found you even mentioned forgetting to eat during the day. Like, we jack up our metabolism, and I'm just as guilty as the next person, like, by not eating. So we'll think, oh, I'm not hungry. Well, you're not hungry because you're not eating. And so it's like this vicious kind of cycle. And what I found when we work on hormones, inflammation, and metabolism, that's when women start to lose weight, they gain more confidence, they have more energy, they learn what the stressors are. Because like me, I didn't think I was stressed out. Do you know what I mean? That's just what you do. What did you say? I was momming so hard.
You were caught up in it. I mean, you were in the game and you were going for it.
Yes. Yes. So looking at those three things, I found the clients who actually work on the metabolism part, it feels like all of the other things sort of flow and come in line and start to work out for them. And that's when my clients that see the biggest wins, I will say, because they get that part right. And of course, gut health is just in and of itself part of what naturally happens when you work on the other one.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, you have all the components. Now, folks might be thinking like, oh my gosh, that sounds really complex. I don't know if I have the time for this. What do you tell folks when someone's like, okay, I really just want the weight loss. And we all know that there's no magic, but you know what? We all still have in the back of their mind, but what if there is? Maybe Stephanie got it. Just in the back of the mind.
Eat right and exercise. No.
The magic. I know.
So I personally don't prescribe to any type of keto, paleo, or anything like that. I also don't think that there's magic involved, but I do think that you can start to, again, working on the mindset part, you can start to build a rhythm and understand why Once you understand why you need to do this, why this is so important for you, why it's not really about the weight, while it's about your health and how you're going to show up for your family and for your kids, for your job and so forth. When you can kind of figure that part out, the other part of it becomes a lot easier. And then there's tools that I provide. So I'm a meal prepping queen. Like Sunday, I have all my chickpeas freshly made in a frozen jar and my soups and everything for this week. So part of it is beyond talking about the mindset and telling you what you need to do. I actually provide them with strategies. So you can cook on Sunday and Wednesday and not worry about the rest of the week. So you can avoid the drive-thrus and so forth. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, I always pack food when I travel. It just becomes part of a habit. You can also have a conversation with the people who are cooking your food at the restaurant. Like my kids are like, you know, someone spits in your food every time you go out to dine. Because I say no oil, less or no salt, salad dressing on the side. There's just small tips and tools that I also give my clients so it doesn't feel so overwhelming. And also, it's not like day one, I tell you all of this. We walk through a process over the time that we're together.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, I think if anything that I've learned over the last 17 plus years of doing this, it's like it's a learning process. You got to mm-hmm. think of it much like you are taking a course to really learn how to take care of yourself all over again, all over again. And it is what it is, you know, and the more effort you put into it, the better results you're going to get, as how I've found. So you do a lot of hair analysis, and in particularly look at DNA. I would love to hear about it because I haven't talked about it on the podcast. So what company are you using, and how did you find it? And just give me a scoop. What's the deal?
Yeah. So I'm not a naturopathic doctor, so I can't actually order the test myself. So I partnered with a naturopath, and they use Trace Elements. Uh-huh. And so we, you know, take the hair sample, send it in. And what I've found is, so part of what I said earlier, I think I mentioned this, is it has to be custom. So I can't, that's why I don't prescribe to like certain types of diet plans. You know, eating Mediterranean is a quote unquote good, healthy basics, but there may be something in that diet that doesn't work for your gut. So this hair tissue mineral analysis will see where there are minerals missing in your body. You know, if your copper level is too high, which may or may not be an indication that there may be some estrogen problems going on. It will give you a list of things that are going on in your body. Also, what supplements you may need. You know, you don't want people to be on supplements forever and a day, but sometimes your body needs that extra boost. It'll also tell you what supplements you may need to implement. Maybe your adrenals or your adrenal glands are off. Maybe your calcium is very low. It will give you that information. And then what I like about it, it gives you this, it's an abbreviated list, but it'll give you some foods that you should and should not be eating. Maybe foods that are higher in D and you don't need to add any D right now, or foods that may have higher levels of copper and your copper levels are already off the chart. So that gives me the base for what I do when I work with folks. So that's how I am able to make it as individualized as possible, looking at that DNA, that hair tissue mineral analysis, discovering what's actually going on in their body and working through it. I personally, I ended up the way that my body was healed, I went to a naturopath, and he was a chiropractor as well. He didn't do the hair tissue. He did a Zyto test, which is a urine test. Mm-hmm. But the results were similar. Like he was able to specifically say, Stephanie, if you eat pineapples, you will get bloated. I'm like, oh, that's so true. Like I never thought about it. Stephanie, certain type of apples. I'm like, oh, that's so true. And then one of the things on mine was a cabbage. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we ate cabbage every single Sunday as a child. Cabbage, roast beef, and white potatoes. And I would be sick every single Sunday. I'm like, I never even thought about it. But that test, which wasn't a traditional type of test, which I had been doing with the more Western medicine doctors, that type of test was able to help me figure out exactly what was going on in my body. And that's what the hair tissue mineral analysis does for clients too. I like with everything, it's not always 100%. you know, there's tweaks and so forth that you have to make, but it gives you a really, I think it gives you a good baseline of where to start. And that's going to be your little bit of magic to help you boost things along and help things go along a little faster.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all about, you know, obviously for us, if we customize everything, every little aspect of our programs will go nuts. But if we customize the exact, you know, what food, what, you know, different interventions that an individual can be making based off of the overall broad, you know, things to work on, I think it's genius. I think it's genius. And it's very similar to how I like to work with folks too. It just helps, you know, you had even said peel back the layers. And I think that's just what customized, you know, and targeted medicine of the future is going to be and what it should be, really.
Yeah, I know. All of our guts are so different, you know, identical twins, their guts are, everyone's gut is different. And so if someone's not offering you something that's for you, as much customization as possible, it may or may not work. So you want to get with someone who is going to work with you and try to work specifically for your body and your body's needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, one of the things, you know, yes, you're having the customization on one thing, but I want to talk about this for a second because I want to go back to the momming thing. When a mom goes through a program, I feel like the whole family gets better. The whole family gets healthier. Do you have any stories that you can bring up to the, and guys, I didn't ask her ahead of time, so I'm putting her on the spot. Do you have anyone that you can think of, or even yourself, you know, in your individual family, as to how everyone else benefited from you taking the steps to put yourself first?
Yes, yes, yes. Tons of stories. So, and again, it's what is the coolest part is generational at this point. Yes. Just like I mentioned my grandson before. So I actually, my oldest son and I did a Meatless Monday challenge. It was not for health reasons and it was not for animal loving. It was because we're competitive.
Nice.
But it was almost 15 years ago and he's never gone back. I went back that summer. I was like, I need some ribs. But the fall, right after that, I got so sick. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back to not eating meat. Now I do implement salmon and other fish into my diet. Think of that sentence. So by me doing that, that helped my son, who's now vegetarian, and that's how he's raising his son to be a veg. So they're very, very aware of what he's eating. Like, you will know baby Reuben's protein intake in a day, and it's not hard anymore. It's just they know, okay, wait, he needs some chickpeas, or he needs, you know, he hasn't had any potassium. Let's give him a banana. It becomes very automatic. So I can see where it works generationally. I also know that a lot of times it's harder, especially as the woman in the house, to get your spouse to change. So what I did when we went from red meat to turkey, because I still cook meat for my husband and my youngest son, what I did was I would do half red meat, half turkey, because they were like, oh, that's great. And then like a quarter red meat, three quarters turkey. And then after a while, they didn't even know. Same thing with milk. Like, I just stopped buying, you know, whole milk, 2%, 1% plant-based, like kind of, I did a step down with them. And some people ask, like, so isn't that, and even because we all eat differently, a lot of people are like, I can't do this. It's so hard. I can't get my husband or someone to change. What I do is cook for the vegetarian and then just add a meat. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like everything else the vegetarian can eat. And then you're just adding meat. When you think about it that way, you take, and that's what I try to help people do. You take some of the stress out of it, because I at one point in my house, I had a no pork eater, no meat eater, vegan, a vegetarian, someone that had dairy issues. So all five of us were like, and I could have gone crazy, but I like cooked for the most quote unquote difficult one and then added a meat. So I think that provides help. And again, it can be generational. That's my whole goal, is to help you or help women create a generational path where everyone, and you know, there's no, I don't believe there's any such thing as diabetes. Why can't I think of diabetes too? It's not diabetes too. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Type two diabetes. Yes.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't think of type two diabetes. I don't think you have to have that because your parents and your grandparents had type two diabetes. I believe that you can completely change the trajectory of your family's health outcomes and your own just by making small changes.
Oh my goodness. That's like mic drop right there. I mean, we could just end this podcast and everybody gets the point of what we're trying to do here. I mean, really. And this is where I go back to that momming thing, because if mom's not taking care of herself, the kids aren't getting the benefits. And this is where it's so important. And then grandkids. And like, obviously, anyone who has kids, or even has nephews, nieces, you want them to be healthy. You want them to thrive. So does it hurt to take care of yourself? No, it helps. It helps. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
And if it takes that, if you feel like self-care is bad or you don't have the time for yourself, stop thinking that I'm changing the way I'm eating and what I'm doing for myself. Start thinking that way. Start thinking that I'm actually doing this for my family. I want to be able to run, jump, play with my grandkids and my great, like my mom is on the floor. She's 82 years old on the floor with that little 2-year-old, like crawling around. Like, you want to build that because that's what you want to be. You don't want to be the grandma sitting in the chair with the oxygen, can barely, you know, and there's nothing, I'm not saying that to make anyone feel bad at all. I'm just saying when you know that there, that you can do better, then do better if you can. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm even kind of crazy enough to be like, all right, grandma in the chair with the oxygen, what are we going to do to get you off the oxygen and get you out of the chair?
Thank you.
I will go into that too.
Thank you. I was trying to be careful, but yes, I agree.
You are being careful. I mean, my dad's going to be 87 this year, and he's pretty healthy and mobile these days. We had some ups and downs, but I will call him out. If he's trying to pull some stuff, I'll be like, all right, then, you know, let's do this. So no, I have hope. I'm one of those probably biggest optimist persons out there. I have hope that we could turn people around even in their 80s. I mean, we have research that shows you can improve your heart into your, you know, to the day you die. So why couldn't we try?
I think that's so amazing. My stepdad has type 2 diabetes, and probably about 6 years ago when we were like really hitting the vegan vegetarian lifestyle hard, we got him for an entire summer to reduce his meat and cut out the dairy, change the way he ate. His doctors were like, and he's been a diabetic for, I don't know, since I was 4 or 5 years old, for almost 40 years. His doctor was like, what are you doing? Like, what is going on? They had to change all his medicines. They had to lower the dose. Now, he doesn't still do it, unfortunately, and it breaks my heart so much. But after all those years, he was able to make that change when he actually focused on what he was doing and started doing what he needed to do. So you're right. It's not about age. Just do it.
just make up your mind, you know? And I mean, you know, obviously, Stephanie, we've talked about a whole bunch of different things, and I think folks get a great idea of, you know, your story, but also, I mean, I think it's beautiful that you've got even the grandson worked into this. Ruben, as you mentioned, love it. So let's tell folks how to find you. Let's, you know, really give folks all the details of how they can connect with you. But also, you do have a free guide, 12 Steps to Better Sleep. And I think that's, sometimes we just need better sleep to be able to start, you know, moving forward. So give us the scoop on all the things, Stephanie.
Yes. We forgot to mention sleep. So thank you for doing that. But all things Stephanie, if you would like to work with me one-on-one or learn more about the mind-body business method, you can go to my website, Stephanie Lynn Shaw. If you're interested in hearing the podcast where we talk to midlife women who are looking for evidence-based alternatives to Western medicine, you can go to Hello Hot Flash. And on Instagram, it's Hello Hot Flash Podcast.
Awesome. And if you guys want to get on her mailing list for info, 12 Steps to Better Sleep, that is our freebie. We're going to have that at drjkrausnd.com so that you guys can jump on that and get to know more about Stephanie and more tips from her. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I sincerely appreciate it. We've had fun. I think we might have to come up with something else to talk about here soon because there's just so many things.
I think so too. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure.
Hey, fellow health junkie. Thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.